Yeah. All right, sweetie. You just hang in.
Hello. Hi there.
Good day, everyone. Hi. The recording is ready. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hello.
Alice, are you there?
Yes, I am. Alice. Yes, apparently the operator started recording, so.
Thanks. Thanks, Alice. It's Brian. Could you just do a quick head count and then we'll get started?
Okay, sure. Online, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Manel Ismail, Louis Lee, Sam Guro, Warren Edelman, Olivier Muron, Fabio Conassanti, Fiona Alexander, James Bladel, Brian Cute, and Larry Strickling.
Thank you, Alice. And this is a call of the Accountability and Transparency Review Team. Thank you all for joining those online. My apologies, there was not an agenda posted for this meeting. The only item on the agenda for this meeting is for the review team to discuss and finalize, at least verbally, our agreement on the recommendations and then finish the drafting of the public comment document. Did anybody on the call not receive the most recent draft of the public comment document?
Okay, it's been received, but I just wondered, ought we not note Chris Despain's formal apologies because he did send them to the list?
Yes, yes. Chris is not able to join, but he said that he would follow up after the call.
Yeah,
from the recommendations.
Yeah. He won't have received or read, if he has received, the latest documentation. He'll be clear to look at that and give us all feedback from tomorrow on, but at the moment he's in our own AUDA SAC meeting.
Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah, hopefully, if there's any disagreement between Chris's inputs and the discussions we have tonight, they'll be noted and resolved.
Thank you.
Okay, that being said, the two working group reports, let me ask first, Larry, I know that you had made some minor modifications to working group two. Did any of those modifications impact any of the recommendations that we had reviewed in Boston or not?
Only in the way we discussed, but yes, there were some minor changes made to the recommendations, not in substance, but in language, as well as adding the item Eric wanted added.
Okay. If there were no substantive changes, then I'll just ask the review team, as you go through this document, the complete document, if you read through Working Group 2 and there's anything that still is flagged in your mind as an open issue, make that known to the list. Otherwise, I'll suggest that we move to the two working group reports that had substantive changes to their recommendations. Let's start with working group three. And there were changes to numbers 8 and number 9. Can we pull it up on the screen, Alice? It's a bit of a scroll. Is everyone seeing it on the screen now? Can people hear me?
Yeah, we can. Mine's only just loading, so I'll say yes in a second.
Okay.
And the answer is yes.
It is on page 30 at the bottom. And there are a couple of comments noted. Warren, you had a question on this, and I've noted that in the comment box. I'll read number 8 out slowly while people are still hunting for it. It reads, the board should ensure that all necessary inputs to the respective policymaking processes are accounted for and included for consideration by the board to ensure effective and timely policy development. One proposed mechanism considered by the ATRT is a template that can accompany documentation for board decisions that certifies what inputs have been accounted for and included for consideration by the board. Warren's question was, this recommendation isn't entirely clear. Who will complete the input template? Would it be the members of the PDP work or the SO leadership or staff? I offered a possible answer there, which is, you know, it could be logical for the board to assign that task to ICANN staff. They could assign the task to their own support staff. They could ask their own support staff to coordinate the task with ICANN staff. There's a number of ways they could approach this, but we didn't want to get into prescriptively telling the board exactly how to address this recommendation, but leave them some latitude to do that. Is that a satisfactory explanation, Warren, or is it still a bit gray for you?
Well, I think it depends on what ultimately the board decides is their latitude. but, I mean, I think I could live with that. You did skip over another comment. I wasn't sure if you were going back to that, Brian.
Which one was that?
previous to that, on this notion of, but you did capture, just scrolling back up to the document, and this would be on page 29.
Mm-hmm.
The question was, would cross-community deliberations be improved through the establishment of procedures for cross-community deliberations, normal and fast track, and the establishment of explicit mechanisms to trigger cross-community deliberations? So
right.
I think you had annotated my comment there. I wasn't sure if you were coming back to that question.
No, I will. I'm sorry. I jumped right to the recommendations. That's where my foremost focus is. Let's finish up on number 8, and then we will go back to your earlier comment on that question, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine.
So while we have number 8 on the table, this one we spent a fair amount of time in Boston trying to get clarified. Does this feel like a solid recommendation? Does anybody else have any additional questions or concern about this being stable and clear enough?
Well, are we recommending the mechanism or not? Because it doesn't read that way.
Peter indicated, I thought, fairly clearly that recommending the mechanism, Cheryl here, sorry for the record. I'm not sorry for the record. I'm sorry I didn't say it for the record. That fell, in his view, firmly under the mandate of the David Olive position in heading up policy. And so I suppose as part of the drafting team who put this together, we were fairly careful to avoid being too prescriptive, but I guess that's on the table for discussion.
Well, Lara, is your question that the way this is worded, we're not making a firm recommendation, we're just saying here's one mechanism you can consider?
Well, we didn't even say that. We just say one mechanism we considered.
Okay.
Like, who cares? Mm-hmm. Are we telling them to consider it or not?
Okay, so one language fix to that would be for sentence 2, beginning that sentence with, the ATRT recommends that the board adopt a template mechanism. I mean, we could just, would that be the fix you're looking for? Forget whether we agree on
that. That's a fix. The other one is to ask the board to consider doing it, but I don't think it's pertinent that, I mean, it's interesting that we considered it, but either we're telling them to do it or we're telling them to think about doing it. But
okay.
I think I would recommend we change it. Plus, I'm still not sure I understand what a necessary input is. Do we define that anywhere?
No, we don't. Let me look up at the prior questions.
Fabio here. Should necessary not replace by received, all the inputs received?
Well, if I may, Cheryl here, if there is a template then it makes the use of the word necessary in the sentence, unnecessary, pardon the pun, because if we have a template that lists all the presumed and probable, if not possible, inputs, then you'd either have a checklist and a tick next to it or it doesn't. Now, there would be a couple there that would be prioritised. For example, input from relevant stakeholders and or specific ACs would be, high in the list on a template. So if we do firmly recommend a template mechanism, then I guess the wishy-washy necessary inputs language can go.
And I think the inputs, I've actually just made that. I have a separate document where I've just made that change as well. That change is easy enough to make. To my mind, it's the inputs that are beyond the PDP processes, because it would be easy enough for them to say, as Peter has, hey, it's part of the policymaking process that either resides at the ACs and SOs, or David Olive in his capacity can address that. And this is not a meaningful recommendation. So your question is good, Larry. I mean, I think of GAC advice. I think of, economic studies, things of that nature, in addition to the PDP inputs that would come up from the SOs and ACs as examples.
I even wonder, Brian, does a template make sense in an environment where, each one of these policy development processes or, in fact, many of the things that ICANN is doing are very unique, and having this template, perhaps it's even restrictive. I don't know how you standardize all of these types of inputs you have.
It's really
I don't know if this is suited to a template.
Cheryl, the response to that is, at the moment, a report, a product, an outcome from a somebody's breathing really heavily, and it's not me, a PDP process can go to the board. And may or may not have sought or received input from interested parties, including the ACs. As you well know, PDPs live in the SOs. And there's nothing that you get to check and have go to the board and therefore be accountable and show to the community that any of the ACs, security and stability, if it's relevant to them, have been proactively approached or have been approached and have chosen not to respond or deemed not relevant.
Fabio here. In the recommendations for the second area of working group one, we have a recommendation 5 where under C says, it reads, publish a detailed explanation of at the conclusion of each decision-making process, including C, what input was received from the ICANN community, and D, how this input was considered and how and why it was adopted or discarded. So there is a clear overlap between what we are discussing now and
Olivier, I was just going to raise the question. There is some overlap, but in a working group one, we're talking after the decision is made, and
yeah.
And
the other one goes before the decision and could be a useful tool.
But
in the...
But there is some overlap. I agree there is some overlap, of course.
Yeah.
So the words has to be compatible.
Well, that's also... There is overlap, but number 5 says publish a detailed explanation at the conclusion of each decision-making process, including those elements.
Yes,
so
it's more than PDP. Yeah.
Yeah, it's within the context of that explanation at the end of the process. I think they're mutually reinforcing as opposed to being in contention.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So let me read it with a couple of tweaks based on the conversation. I now have it reading, the board should ensure that all the inputs received to the respective policymaking processes are accounted for and included for consideration by the board to ensure effective and timely policy development. The ATRT recommends that the board consider adopting a template or checklist that can accompany documentation for board decisions that certifies what inputs have been accounted for and included for consideration by the board.
Now, Cheryl, I agree totally with what you just said. I'm very comfortable with it at that first read. Is Peter on the line? There was a difficulty dialing out to him. Doesn't sound like he is, in which case I need to channel Peter for a moment. And that is, have we fact-checked to see what template or cover sheet is put into the board books that may or may not address this issue? Now, that fact that we've only ever seen one makes it difficult, but if it's an ad hoc cover sheet that says below this page the following inputs are recorded, that's fine, but it's not institutionalized or driven as a key part of the process, and we need to say it needs to be a key part of the process. If it is already institutionalized in the board book that we've only ever seen one copy of, then that slightly modifies our wording.
It's a good question, Cheryl. I'm putting a note in here, a comment, to fact-check that against the board book. But
it would help if we'd seen two or three of them, but because we haven't, we've just got to make an assumption that it's not the case.
But even if that were the case, the way you just phrased it, there could be something of a checklist in the board book today, but a companion...
It may not be next month.
It might not, yeah, and a companion thought to this recommendation is that we really want this happening proactively at the early stages of policy development as well.
Yeah.
You know, a checklist at the end of the day that could say, here's everything we've gotten, could still yet miss important inputs that should have come into the process earlier.
Yeah. And that's the difference from... That's the difference between a simple reporting of what was received and a checklist of what could be received. One can
Correct.
Be more proactive.
Correct.
Brian?
Yes, Manal.
This is Manal. If I recall the language, you already read that the board should... Can you please read the first sentence again? Because I think the way it's written now is that the board should just document whatever input has been received and not as a checklist, making sure that the necessary input has been received. Can you please read this?
Yes, the way it reads now is the board should ensure that all the inputs received to the respective policymaking processes are accounted for and included for consideration by the board to ensure effective and timely policy development.
So this says that the board should make sure that all the inputs received are accounted for and so on. So whereas I understand that necessary inputs was a key word, I mean, that this is sort of a checklist to make sure that the board has received all the necessary inputs before taking the decision, right?
That was my thinking when I drafted it.
So I don't think we should drop the word necessary.
Then should be saying, Fabio here, the board should ensure that all the necessary inputs have been received and that they are accounted for and included for consideration.
Yeah, exactly. Because it should include all the necessary inputs, and then we double-check whether it was received or not, because you may have a necessary input that was not received, and then you would ask, why was this input not received? I mean... It shouldn't be just listing the received inputs.
Any strong objection to those proposed edits?
Hey, Brian, this is Warren.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I got dropped off the call, so I don't miss. I don't know if I missed something in the last 30 seconds. But you know, I was getting a little uncomfortable with some of Cheryl's commentary, and I think what I want to say is I support Manal's commentary, although I must have missed a couple. I may have missed a couple of seconds of it. The thing that I'm concerned about is, you know, I'm okay with this checklist, et cetera, inventorying the inputs received, but where I get uncomfortable, but as long as we know that an answer can be, yeah, no response from community X, because, you know, not every community always provides input within a timely manner, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, if we're not careful, we're recommending something here that can be used as, you know, some form of a veto. Or filibuster. So I think what I, you know, having missed about 20 or 30 seconds of Manal's commentary, I think what I'm saying is I support what she was saying. I'm good with a, you know, the checklist inventories everything that was received.
And then the suggestion was to put back the word necessary. Necessary inputs have received. That was a suggestion.
Yeah, I think necessary probably helps to cover that to some extent. And yes, Warren, absolutely. It may be that, for example, a particular AC may deem it unnecessary for them to respond. And that's okay.
And I don't want to belabor this exercise either. We can going to recirculate this language in the next iteration of the document. Does anybody have a fundamental problem with the way this has been drafted so far? Are we creating a problem that we're not recognizing? Is this somehow otherwise flawed, or do we just think this is a lightweight recommendation that doesn't do much? I'm interested in hearing those views.
This is Louis. I'm good with saying necessary, and I'm good with also saying that we actually recommend the checklist rather than that we consider that to be a recommendation.
Okay, I've made that change. Thank you, Louis.
Yeah.
Any other comments?
Can you reread the whole eight, please?
Sure. So, with Manal's suggestion, the board should ensure that all the necessary inputs have been received to the respective policymaking processes. Let me start again. The board should ensure that all the necessary inputs have been received to the respective policymaking processes, are accounted for and included for consideration by the board to ensure effective and timely policy development. Little grammar issue there, I'll fix it. The ATRT recommends that the board consider adopting a template or checklist that can accompany documentation for board decisions that certifies what inputs have been accounted for and included for consideration by the board. What was that, Olivier?
Yes. I said that is included.
Is included.
And is included, yes. Yes. I'm dropping the board should ensure that all necessary inputs have been received to the respective policymaking processes and are accounted included for consideration by the board. Any strong objections? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to tweak that first sentence for grammar and recirculate in the next iteration. Please take a close look at it and flag anything. Otherwise, it's going through. And Warren, before we jump back up to your first question, can we spot check number 9? I think we were comfortable with number 9 in Boston, but I want to be sure. It reads, forecasted ICANN work programs should exist and should be made publicly available. Did anyone have a fundamental problem with 9? Okay.
Hearing none.
Well, again, I think, are we asking ICANN to prepare work program forecasts? If which case, why don't we say that?
Yeah, I think that's the should exist part, but I can put it in more directed terms.
Yeah, I mean, I think we ought to, if it's a recommendation to do something, we should make it action verbs.
Yep.
I'm happy to up the language. Yep.
The board should create forecasted work programs.
The board should agree on work programs, and then we should be adding a period, and it should make them available. Work programs for the next 12 or 18 months, and then should be publishing them.
Yeah, the publishing is important, I agree, because making them is one thing, getting them out to the community is the other.
So, how about the board should agree on forecasted work programs, period. Such programs should be made publicly available in a timely fashion.
You see, again, I may have to channel Peter again here. The board does do forecasting. So I'm concerned of putting in a sentence that indicates we think they don't. They do. What the issue is we ever don't get to really know about them. And indeed, you know, when they're updated, they should be part of the dashboard type metrics, but not hidden in a dashboard. So I think we need to be careful what we're risking in that very first sentence. I would prefer it to be that forecasted work programs be published and regularly updated to allow, insert the rest of the sentence.
There is something missing, the obligation to have them, because they could say we don't publish them because we have not made them.
Well, if we can link make and publish, but to have the sentence the way it was first written indicated that we believed they did not make them, when in fact at this stage we know they do.
Cheryl, what was your suggested language?
Was that forecasted work programs made available to the board, or whatever you want to say there, are published and regularly updated to allow and facilitate community, blah, 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 ICANN community, use of, work with, PDPs of, whatever. So we're asking them to do them and publish them, but not indicating that we think they don't.
Forecasted work programs, okay, should be published and regularly updated to facilitate public input and effective and timely policy development.
Perhaps we should start it with the board ensure that forecasted work programs. So it just, I mean, people who are better pedants than I am need to look at that sentence once it's wordsmithed and make sure there's no loophole for them to say, well, we didn't publish them because we didn't make them.
So it now reads, the board should ensure that forecasted work programs be published and regularly updated to facilitate public input and effective and timely policy development. Going once, going twice. Okay, I'll send it out like that. Please fly spec it, and if you have a fundamental problem or it creates a fundamental problem, let us know right away. Okay, working our way back to Warren's question. which was up in
page 29.
It had to do with one of the questions. So the question for review was, would cross-community deliberations be improved through the establishment of procedures for cross-community deliberations, for example, normal and fast track, and the establishment of explicit mechanisms to trigger cross-community deliberations? Warren's question was, how does this differ from the fast-track PDP proposed by the PPSC-PDP in their interim report? Cheryl, an insight
does
there?
Does it need to? Well, I'm not sure that it does, nor do I think it needs to. What's Warren's concern about that question?
Is it redundant on something that's already being...
My concern it's redundant of something that has already been in process and recommended as part of another effort. So, you know, why are we
That's only within GNSO. That hasn't been adopted yet. It's still draft, and this would give it strength, is my immediate response.
Well, is the substantive difference the fact that this is cross-community deliberations as opposed to a PDP in the context of the GNSO?
Yes. Because we certainly have a difference between a specific PDP within an SO process and cross-community deliberations.
So what are? Why don't you define cross-community deliberations, Cheryl, outside of the context of policy development?
Okay, recommendation 6. Exercise that the GNSO, GAC, and ALAC recently went through. It was not a PDP process in any way, shape, or form. It was a new beast, which was two ACs and an SO getting together to discuss implementation aspects in a community work group environment. Does not fit in any way, shape, or form in the PPSC report.
So then, you know, perhaps what we have to do is clarify this. I mean, it's not really a recommendation at this juncture. It's a question or review. But, I mean, maybe there needs to be some clarification of how it, in detail, of how it differentiates itself from something that exists in another environment and how it augments what Cheryl just talked about. Well, just, you know.
When we asked, because these were the questions we asked, remember? When we asked the chairman of the Public Participation Committee, Jean-Jacques Supernay, this particular issue, and we discussed what, if any, aspects of cross-community deliberations had he and his board committee explored, and if they had explored any, what were their feelings about their merit and worth. What we got back from that was the more cross-community deliberation that happens early on in the process, the better from their current point of view. So we asked that question, and that is paraphrasing the answer to it.
Yeah, well, I'm not suggesting that cross-community discussions aren't important. I'm just saying, you know, I think we have to delineate perhaps in this how it's different if we're going to drive a recommendation off of it, if we're going to.
I think adding a brief definitional sentence is no problem at all, and can't assume that every reader is going to have a understanding of what cross deliberations is. I don't see any harm in that at all.
I have no problem with it, but these were the questions we asked.
No, they are the questions, and this is an explicit...
Yeah, but now, you know, Cheryl, now we're going to a point where we're going to deliver this to the community and ask for their input, and people are going to be providing comment on it, et cetera. You know, just because they're the questions that we ask doesn't mean we shouldn't give them some support in understanding as clearly as we possibly can where we're going.
I'm not disagreeing. Your question was, how does it differ from the PPSC? Answered that, and I'm not disagreeing with being more detailed in the explanation.
And Cheryl, could I ask you if you wouldn't mind writing two sentences, if you can keep it to two or three or four at most, that gives a very brief definition of cross-community deliberations, and I'll tack that into the Working Group 3 document.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay. All right. That, those are the comments you raised with regard to Working Group 3. Warren, are you at a comfortable place?
I'm at a comfortable place, Brian. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else on Working Group 3 before we move on to Working Group 4?
I can't find it right now, but there was two words repeated. Just when you do a when we do a sanity check later, it was recommend and then recommends, or recommends, recommend. And I'm not going to scan through the whole document right now, but in somewhere in the whole document, there is word duplication. We just need to be careful because it's in recommendations. And it would probably, if yeah, it should be easy enough to find, but just be aware of it.
Thank you. I'm going to make a note. And I'm also making a note, Fabio, you raised a question about whether there were articulated justifications for the WG3 recommendations. I've made a note there as well for myself that we'll make sure that those are clearly articulated. Okay. Anything else on Working Group 3? All right, let's move to Working Group 4. All right, this one, as you know, came across your screens earlier today, and it is largely the same content that you looked at in Boston, but significantly restructured. Why don't we start with the recommendations, and then we can work our way back into other parts of the document if need be. So the first recommendation reads, the ICANN board should institute a review of accountability mechanisms as recommended in Recommendation 2.7 of the 2009 Improving Institutional Confidence Implementation Plan. The review should be conducted by community members as well as by independent experts. Now, community members there is meaningful because the IIC only calls for independent experts, so we're adding something there. I want to make sure that that's clear to everybody and clear to the readers. The following specific issues should be addressed as part of the review. These issues do not preclude a broader comprehensive review and assessment of the accountability and transparency of the existing mechanisms. Rather, they reflect specific issues that were identified during the accountability and transparency review. So here's where we're saying do that review that you were that the IIC suggested you do. That's the first recommendation. Then we have specific areas we want them to look at for the three existing mechanisms. Here we rattle them off. Office of the Ombudsman. There appear to be unresolved questions about whether the framework under which the Office of Ombudsman operates is consistent with internationally recognized standards for an ombudsman function, such as International Ombudsman Association. Okay, we have some grammar issues there. And its standards of practice. The board should review and update. Oh, Lord. Need some work here. The board should review and update the Office of Ombudsman framework to ensure it comports with the international best practices. My apologies for this. In addition, a review of the publication of ombudsman cases respecting necessary privacy or confidentiality considerations to ensure maximum transparency for this accountability mechanism. Putting the grammar trouble to the side, I will fix that. Anything substantively problematic here?
Okay. Brian, this is James.
Yes, James.
Sorry, just a minor housekeeping note. We make a couple of references to the Improving Institutional Confidence Report, and that was through the link that Peter sent around, but I believe that was a draft version of the implementation plan, and just want to maybe check and just maybe make a note and see if there's a better or more final version of that document that was published. I want to make sure that we're not linking to an interim version of that. I'm making a fact-checking note on the side. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Moving on. Reconsideration request. The ICANN bylaws charge the Board Governance Committee with the management of reconsideration requests. Because the BGC is comprised exclusively of existing board members, it is therefore not independent. Several reconsideration requests did not include sufficient published documentation for WG4 to determine whether or not the board reconsidered them, requiring further investigation by ICANN staff. The board should address improving transparency by requiring timelier, more easily accessible, and clear publication of reconsideration requests and board reconsideration outcomes on the reconsideration request webpage. Publishing the status of deliberations and the rationale used to form decisions would also improve transparency. I'm going to stop there. Concerns, problems? Okay. The next one is where we wanted to make a specific time-bound recommendation. No later than March 31st, 2011, the board should review, revise, and implement a change to the grounds upon which a reconsideration request is brought, specifically the grounds which limit a claim on the basis of materials not already presented to the board should be stricken and less restrictive grounds should be introduced. Comment. Everyone must be asleep.
Well, no, no, I think it's...
We're not asleep. We're busy trying to get...
So what would the new grounds be?
We didn't go there in Boston. We weren't making specific suggestions. It was just noted, and Peter's the one who noted, that those existing grounds is just too high of a bar to hit.
At the moment, the only the existing ground is that there has to be discovered material that the board did not have in its possession at the time it made the decision. Correct?
In a paraphrase, I believe that's correct.
And that has never happened.
Well, I guess I have a problem with telling people they need to have a looser standard and not telling them how to change it. And I, in my own mind, I'm not sure what else. I mean, that is the traditional reason for reconsideration, is if there's something new that has emerged since the time of the decision, either a fact that wasn't known at the time or a fact that changes that justifies a change in the outcome.
Well, changed fact would certainly be different than 2B, which is the one we're focused on. The first ground, Larry, I'm looking at it, is adversely affected by A, one or more staff actions or inactions that contradict established ICANN policies. That's staff.
That's if you're challenging a staff decision.
That's
right.
Staff focused. I mean, the contradicting established ICANN policies could apply with equal force to a board action or inaction, I suppose. A change in facts would be different from what's currently in 2B. Should we go as far as to say, you know, grounds consistent with 2A or similar to 2A and make a specific recommendation about changed facts? We could do that.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, maybe we have to pull back a little bit on this one then, Brian, and give the board the latitude to review and revise, but, you know, tell us and the community and the stakeholders why particular grounds remain the same or why upon their review they decided to change some of the grounds upon which these reconsideration requests are made. I mean, unless over the next number of days, some, you know, this group can think of specific ground changes.
I take your point, Warren. At the same time, I wouldn't see us shrinking from saying explicitly that 2B is too narrow and unworkable and should go. So I guess what I'm going to say is if particularly the lawyers in the group can come up with a suggestion for redefining the grounds or at least direction to point toward, let's do that and share that language and see if we can hammer something out on this one. All right, I'm putting a comment in the box. Okay, independent review panel. The IRP does not include members of the ICANN board and so is sufficiently independent. Public comment received has pointed to the fact that the IRP's decisions are not binding on the ICANN board and therefore questions its effectiveness as an accountability mechanism. Given the duration of the process, and resource costs incurred in the single instance the IRP was invoked, this mechanism may be inaccessible to a large segment of the community. As part of the review, the board should... determine ways to reduce costs, issue timelier decisions, cover a wider spectrum of issues, and generally improve accessibility to the community. Any questions? Okay. The concept of a, quote, IRP light to provide a streamlined, cost-effective, and expedited review where appropriate. I'll fix the grammar. Are we saying the board should adopt or consider adopting?
Brian, I think the original language, I'm sorry, this is James speaking. The original language was something to the effect of the review should consider. I'm doing that from memory, so I may be off.
I don't have any problem going this far. I mean, we say the board should determine ways to reduce costs, issue timely decisions, et cetera. The board should consider adopting an IRP light to provide a streamlined, cost-effective, and expedited review where appropriate. Reaction to that construction?
Well, wasn't there some question raised as the fact that this particular panel went off on a totally de novo review and whether that's the appropriate standard or not? And there was some sense that if it's a totally de novo review, you're just, you know, you're getting three people who don't have a lot of history with ICANN making judgments that as if they had been part of ICANN for all eternity. It seems to me that this, the review needs to address that issue too, which is the standard to be applied by the panel.
Are you talking about the IRP light mechanism or the...
No, I'm talking about, I'm back up in the main paragraph. With your list of things you want the review to look at, I would suggest we add standard of review.
All right, so I'm going to put in a sentence in that first paragraph that notes concerns raised about the de novo review. And then a follow-on sentence. What are we suggesting here, Larry? I've just walked through one scenario where we're giving the board an open to narrow the standard of review of its decisions. I'm not saying the de novo approach was appropriate in the first instance. I'm just trying to think
how this looks optically.
Are we? Well, I mean, I think the general reaction was that nobody was really satisfied with the way this one time the process was invoked turned out. And so it seems like if you're going to review it, you shouldn't just review it what's going to make them happen more frequently if part of the reason people aren't happy with the outcome was people substituting their own judgment without any constraint on a decision that had been made by a duly elected board. You're substituting the judgments of three unelected people, and you're telling them they can come at this and make up their own mind without any reference to what came before based on their own reading of the bylaws. And if that's what people want, fine, but it seems that if we're going to ask the board to conduct a review of the process, that looking at the standard of review ought to be within that charge. I mean, as I've said on previous occasions, I'm quite concerned about, you know, handing off these decisions to people who don't have any accountability to anyone. And in the case of the IRP, at least it's not binding, but those three arbitrators were not accountable to anybody. And I think that's an issue on these things.
I don't have a problem with the thrust. I'm trying to think about the how, and does this mean that they should be going to independent experts? If the question is what's the appropriate standard of review, I think there would be some concern over the board making its own decision about what the standard of review should be on the other side of that coin, right? Is this, we were suggesting that they include independent experts.
Problem.
Any thoughts?
Hello?
Yes, any thoughts?
Yeah, Brian, this is Warren. I think you pointed out something that's very, you know, looking at the other side of it is very interesting. I think we're going to have to park this one until we can figure out how to include, you know, Larry's language without adequately address the other side of the coin.
Yeah, Larry, I'm not rejecting the thrust at all. I think the thrust is appropriate. I'm just trying to figure out how to do it in a calibrated way. Do you want to put together a few sentences that's putting out your proposal, Larry?
Sure, I'll try. But not
okay.
At 2 a.m.
I understand. I can barely sleep right now. Okay, I'll wait for your comeback on that.
Can I just make one comment, Brian, on the IRP Lite?
Yes.
You know, is this going to be at the choice of the party that is appealing to the IRP, or is it going to be at the choice of ICANN? Because, you know, it's not clear that somebody's going to find one person better than three, nor was it necessarily that the reason that the previous process had an issue, right? But whose decision is it that it becomes light or not?
Well, I would think that the member of the community that's filing the claim, if you will, or initiating the process, have the option to select in the normal course. And again, the discussion of this was a rough notion of summary judgment also, so that you could get a threshold decision without having to go through the entire, you know, adjudicatory process.
Yeah, I guess maybe we just, if we're going to pursue this, then maybe we need to add in the fact that this would be a decision that was made by that quote-unquote aggrieved member of the community, right?
Yeah. I'm making a note. portion of the plan. Okay, that's noted. Something. Anything else? Language before we move on.
Cheryl Hebron, not language or for this part. I just wanted to draw your attention to the fact that I put those requested sentences plus a little annotation into the chat in the Adobe room.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
And I suggest someone sanity checks it, obviously, because I make no pretense to be a master of the English language because I'm an Australian.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. That's great. This is the one that's input for page 29.
Great. What you asked me to do.
Thank you much. I'm copying it right now and pasting it in another spot. All right. Anything else on IRP before we move on to community revote? Okay. Community revote was recommended in the 2009 Improving Institutional Conference Implementation Plan. ICANN staff reports that this proposal was not implemented due to community opposition to the proposal as drafted. The summary of community feedback prepared by ICANN staff reports that comments specifically mentioning the community revote proposal indicate a lack of consensus on its implementation rather than opposition to the proposal. And there's a quote from the staff summary. And here's our recommendation. This proposed mechanism has some merit, but was unclear how effective it would be as an accountability mechanism, the grammar. The community revote mechanism proposed would be independent because it would not include members of the ICANN board. The ATRT has doubts whether a community revote would be effective in the extraordinarily high level of consensus required to re-examine a board decision. That's not so much a recommendation as an observation, as I read it.
Yeah.
What is the requirement?
James?
Yeah, I'm getting that. I think it was 2/3 vote of all the SOs and ACs, but let me just pull that up real quickly and take a look.
Yes,
you can go on, and we'll circle back.
Well, I just recall that we said it wasn't bloody likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess just to step back from all of this, what we're really doing here, again, at the outset, we're saying the IIC suggests or recommended that you undertake this broad review of accountability mechanism. We're saying you haven't done it, you need to go do it. We're making specific suggestions for the ombudsman, the reconsideration mechanism, and the IRP based on things that we've observed in our review. Now, these two, the community revote and the board removal mechanism, which is next, were recommendations 2.8 and 2.9 in the IIC. They actually weren't part and parcel of 2.7, which was the holistic review of accountability mechanisms. But what we decided on the one hand was, well, these looked, at least the community revote one looked kind of interesting, like it may have been prematurely put to the side. So we're going to suggest that they make this part of their broader overall review under 2.7, both of these mechanisms, the board removal mechanism as well. But in what we're doing here is providing commentary that could help guide the review of these mechanisms, not necessarily recommendations. So that's what we're doing here. I guess the question is, are we doing it effectively? Is it useful? Should we just forget it?
Brian, I posted the thresholds in the chat.
I'm sorry?
This is James. I posted the thresholds from the report in the chat.
Okay, thanks.
And it is 2/3.
Except for the
and who gets a vote?
The councils of all supporting organizations and the members of the advisory committees.
So each organization gets a vote, not...
No, I mean, how many... two-thirds of the individuals in each AC or SO? Or in terms of the
councils, two-thirds of the councils of the SOs, and then two-thirds of the individuals in the AC.
Correct.
So how many people voting do we think that is?
Well, for example, ALAC is 15 people. GNSO Council is what? On GNSO, as you should know. It could be around 100. It could be less. I don't know how many is in the NSO. I don't know how many is currently in the ESAC.
Well, and again, it's not clear. Is it a majority of those individuals voting, or is it two-thirds of the GNSO check, two-thirds of the CCNSO check, and so on and so forth?
Well, I thought it was two-thirds of the members of the advisory committees, which in our case is two-thirds of 15, and the same for SAC and RSAC and any other SAC. But the government advisory committee would be a consensus statement. They're the only exception.
Well, you know, I think it isn't clear to me, but I think that, you know, it's a question of how deeply we want to dive into this here, or do we just want to recommend that they take another look at it?
There were, I think, some, we just want to recommend they take
in the comments as well.
Yeah, I think
comments to this were also interesting.
Well, I'm fine with having people take another look at it. I guess I object to the last sentence that talks about the extraordinarily high level of consensus. I mean, a two-thirds majority to overturn a board decision does not strike me as extraordinarily high, and in fact, you want the bar to be relatively high if you're overturning a board decision. In otherwise, you know, something like a majority vote would be, that would be undercutting, I think, the whole board process. I mean, again, I think what we're looking for is safety valve to deal with those situations when something totally goes off the rails, not to have just a general process by which people submit things to the community for a vote as a matter of course.
Yeah, Larry, your points are well taken. When I look at extraordinary high level of consensus, I interpret that as cross-cutting across all the ACs and SOs. You're right on the numbers, absolutely. I think it's the entire community, which is as diverse as we understand it to be in terms of interests, coming together as required.
Yeah, that's right. That's the right interpretation, Brian, but I absolutely see how Larry came at it. I think as I read both of these, you know, that probably the commentary is unnecessary and that what's more important is actually saying to the board, listen, you know, why don't you relook at these and tell us, tell the community what you decide and why as part of that review, as opposed to providing commentary on both of them that, you know, basically dissuades any real review.
I would go along with that. Certainly we don't want to prejudge. With one caveat, I do think the board removal mechanism is a waste of time.
Yeah.
And I would feel much more comfortable sharing our view of that as they go into the review process. But we could strike this last.
Could we not make that observation at the end of the recommendation where we recommend they do look at that part of the report, that they do re-examine that part, and then make the observation that the ATRC did not believe this was a robust or likely mechanism to work? But anyway.
Yes. Sure. I have no problem removing that last sentence from the community revote and have it finish with community revote mechanism as proposed would be independent because it would not include members of the ICANN board, period.
And then we could just remove that last phrase from the board removal mechanism and say the board should also consider recommendation 2.9 of the IIC. Any downside with doing that? Not hearing any. Okay. So we have a few items where we need some more language. If folks could do that as quickly as possible. Were there any other questions about the earlier sections of WG4 that jumped out at people? Thomas, I had a chance to get through the entire document, too, so just please take that as a to-do. But I think our review of the recommendation, we just have some action items for additional language, and I'll get that circulated as quickly as we have it. At this rate, you know, I don't see this document being in a stable place for at least another 2 to 3 work days, because we still need to go through and do a holistic edit of the document. We need to do some grammar checks and all the rest of that. Anybody have any other fundamental problems with the document or things that we're missing? This is our last chance, probably our last chance to speak to each other before this thing goes out the door, and I know we can be fine, but speak up if there's anything troubling you. Then the folks who I've given written assignments to, if you can get that language in, take care of my bits, I will... I'm going to wait until we have all of these additions we identified and send it out with everything included. It might take 24 hours or so, but I'd rather do that than do it in piecemeal form. And in the meantime, while we're waiting for all those to come in, start the review of the entire document process, grammar, citations. I would still ask every working group head to go through and do the fact-checking, check against the accountability and transparency brainstorming document, make sure there isn't anything out there that we've missed. You saw my note about asking Denise if there were elements of the RFI response for Working Group 4 that could be released into this document because it was otherwise labeled as privileged and confidential. We'll see how that request turns out. And otherwise, I know some folks have given feedback to Berkman on their case studies document and final report. Thank you for doing that. If anybody else has, please supply them to Berkman. I think we'll end up going with attaching both those documents to this, but those documents from Berkman might not make the translation track. We'll see. Anything else, folks, that we're missing? Okay. Look forward to the authors sending things over the wire, and I'll send out the next iteration when we have all of those additions into the document. And as I said, I'll hold the pen and keep editing the document. If you have any edits at all, you can send them in a separate document to me. You can take this version, mark it up, redline, and send it to me. But I'll be the one incorporating everything to the document from here on in. That's it, folks. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Brian. Bye.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. And bye-bye.
Oh.